Thank you, Lord, for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has come, that your kingdom can be established here on this earth, in our lives, in our communities, in our families. We thank you, Lord, for your kingdom. Lord, help me to speak about your kingdom. Help me to speak about the truth of your word and what it says to declare you, to declare your kingdom, and to declare the truth. Help them to have ears to hear and a heart to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the title I have for this message is The Kingdom Must Advance. The kingdom must advance. The kingdom of God needs to advance. And we're going to start talking, and we're going to start with scripture in Matthew 11, verse 12. And it's talking about John the Baptist. It's Jesus speaking about John the Baptist, talking about his ministry. You know that we know that John the Baptist came before Jesus. He was born before Jesus, and his ministry was before Jesus. And John the Baptist testified that Jesus was the Son of God, that the Spirit of God came upon him, and he said, "This is the one. This is my Son. This is whom I've anointed. This is whom I've called. This is the one." And John's testimony was the one that verified, was a verifier of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus, speaking about John the Baptist, he said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, so from when John the Baptist started his ministry until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. I don't know about you, but I've struggled with this scripture for a long time, trying to understand what is this talking about. So I'm going to expand this scripture a little bit, and we're going to go from there. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. That word is to crowd oneself into. Suffered violence, to crowd oneself into. Think of Walmart on Black Friday. Walmart on Black Friday, a crowd crushing to get in. It says, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. The kingdom of heaven has people crowding itself to get in. And the violent, those, it says, who strive to obtain its privileges with the utmost eagerness and effort. Once again, Walmart, Black Friday, going for those deals. You know, they're striving to obtain the privileges, striving to obtain those things, those deals. And this is the kingdom of heaven. So people are pressing into it, striving to obtain its privileges with the utmost effort and eagerness. And they take it by force to claim for oneself eagerly. And that's pretty self-explanatory. You grab it. You take it. You have it. So I put it together this way. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is being crowded into. And those who strive to obtain it, claim it for oneself eagerly. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is being crowded into, and those who strive to obtain it, claim it for oneself eagerly. There's an eagerness, there was a desire, there was a striving of people to enter into the kingdom. They were pressing in. They were seeking God. It says that all the people were going out and getting baptized by John the Baptist. They were going out to hear this mad prophet in the wilderness crying out, saying all kinds of things. People were going to it and getting baptized. They were eager to enter into because they recognized God moving. But not everyone did. But those that did, they strove to enter in. They're like, what do we need to do? We're, it's the Jewish people. They were given the oracles of God. They had the Old Testament. They had the prophets. They had the stories of God, striving for God. And these people are like, we want to serve God. We want to be good in His sight. We want to be pleasing in His sight. And so these people were hearing of a prophet of God. And they're saying, this is a prophet of God. He's doing things in the name of God. We're seeing, we recognize God moving. And they said, what do we need to do? And He says, get baptized. Repent. So that takes us to Matthew 3, verses 1 and 3. And this is John the Baptist's ministry. Because remember, this is about the kingdom. And it says the kingdom started advancing from John the Baptist forward. And in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who is spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight his path. So John the Baptist began to make an advancement in the kingdom. It says John the Baptist started it. And what did he say? He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why repent? Because they were the people of God. They were supposed to know what's supposed to be doing, what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be following the law. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. To honor your father and mother. To not covet. To not lie. The Ten Commandments. To do these things, to live by them. But we all know that we have an innate tendency to not live that way. And so they know that they hadn't been right in God's sight. They had continually had to go and sacrifice for their sin and their wrongdoing. So here he is, repent, turn from your foolish ways. Turn from the emptiness of what you're doing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said, make straight the path. Make straight the path. There's a constant problem that we have. And that's that the deceiver is always trying to distort the truth. He's always trying to distort the truth. And here he had done it in the kingdom, in Jewish community. Jesus even spoke about it. He says that the doctrines of men have made the word of God of no effect. He said, your doctrines are useless. You've polluted the word of God. You've distorted the way. Here's John the Baptist. Make straight. Make straight the way. He said, repent. Make straight. And this is what caused people to press into the kingdom, because they began to hear God speaking. Now, it has been hundreds of years at this point since God had spoken to the people. There had been no prophet. There had been no man of God. There had been no servant of God to come forth that was under the anointing speaking the truth of God. Now here, John the Baptist is on the scene. The word of God is being preached. They're hearing it. They're sensing it. They're feeling God's presence in the words that he's speaking. And they know it's God. And so people are pressing into it. You know, but we have, the truth is always being distorted. Matthew 23:13. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. It's Jesus speaking. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Wow. That the leaders of that time, the religious leaders, those who are supposed to be the doorkeepers of the truth of God, were keeping people out of the kingdom of God. The kingdom that God wanted people to enter into. They had shut the doors. They said, no, You're not good enough, you can't come in. You're not righteous enough, you can't come in. You have to be special. You have to be whatever. Super righteous. And then it's questionable. Jesus said that you shut up the kingdom. What a damning statement. The very thing that they're supposed to be doing, they're keeping people from doing. Unfortunately, we have similar thing going on today. And I'm not wanting to make this, oh, them so-and-so and that so-and-so. It's individuals. It's philosophies. It's ideas. It's the deceiving, the distorting of the truth that keeps us out of the kingdom. And people don't always do it intentionally. They don't do it maliciously. They want to enter in, but they don't know how. And we need to show them. We need to show them. We need to go there. They need to see it. But before we can show them, we ourselves need to do it. He says, you shut up the kingdom. John 3:17. This is the message of the gospel, the good news. This is the essence of it. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Religiousness, I'm just going to use the term. Religiousness says that you need to become righteous enough before God before he can accept you. The gospel says that Jesus died so that we can be righteous before God. Just as you are. He didn't come to condemn the world, but through the world through him might be saved. That we might be saved. We stand here now because of the truth of the gospel. We are here now. We are free in Christ Jesus because of the gospel, the good news. And that is that Jesus died to set us free. Free from what? The enemy. Who's the enemy? The one that rebelled against God and enslaved humanity in rebellion against God to become his people. But God said, no, they are my people. I will make a way for them. And he set us free from everything in this world. Everything that the devil has done, is doing, will do. Everything that is contrary to the will of God. Jesus has set us free from. Why? How? It's the kingdom. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of yourself, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of drugs, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of politics, the kingdom of God. God has called us to be free from any other kingdom in this world. God advances his kingdom by extending his grace. Where is the kingdom? You know, the United Kingdom? Its kingdom, where is its kingdom? Its kingdom is in the British Isles. It's the United Kingdom. That's where its kingdom resides. Where's the kingdom of heaven? Luke 17:21-22. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, and he answered and said to him, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see it here or see it there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Where's the kingdom of God? It's within you. It's within anyone who decides that Jesus is their king. Anyone who decides that they want to be in God's kingdom and accept its rule and its authority, that's where the kingdom resides. That's where it is. Where's the kingdom? It's in me. That's why I'm preaching it. The kingdom is in me. I'm constrained. I'm in a kingdom. I have a king. I have a master. I have rules that I abide under because I operate in a kingdom. And that kingdom says yea and nay. Yes and no. You can do this, you can't do that. You know, there are some things that are illegal in the United States. Counterfeiting money is illegal everywhere in the United States. But yet people still do it who live in the United States. They don't prosper. You know, they may get a little bit of a bump. They may think that they're getting away, but eventually it comes to bite them. They eventually get caught. They eventually lose. And then they get in trouble. There are rules in the kingdom. And you can ignore them for a while, but eventually they'll catch up to you. God put the rules there not to oppress you. He put them there so that we could be free. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's within us. Righteousness, peace, and joy. That sounds pretty good. I like that. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in your heart. When we... How do I want to say this? What rules in your heart? The kingdom of heaven or your own opinions? Does it? I know. Unlike Jesse, this is condemnation. I am stepping on your toes. I'm trying to get you to think. I'm challenging your perspective of what you've been thinking and how you've been living. I want us to move beyond where we're at to enter into something better. And sometimes you need to realize, sometimes you got to get smacked in order to realize that, you know, maybe that's not the best thing. You know, maybe that's not the right place. Does the kingdom of heaven rule in our lives, in our hearts, and in our minds? Does it? Does it really? Or do our own opinions, or our own ideas, or somebody else's opinions or ideas rule our life? Does the political pundits rule the ideology in our life? Does the news media? Does what the stock market is doing control how good our attitude happens to be that day? Is how well our job is going tell us what our attitude is going to be that day? Or does the kingdom tell us? I know it's a hard thing. But if you don't pinpoint where the target is, you're never going to know where to aim. And you know what? This kingdom is worth fighting for. This kingdom is worth striving for. The kingdom of God is a place where the influence has sway. in the hearts of men. The kingdom of God is where the influence of God has preeminence. People go around saying, I'm in the kingdom, I'm in the kingdom, I'm in the kingdom, and they go out and they live like the devil. That is not living by the kingdom. You are accepted by Jesus Christ and you may be saved, but you're not in the kingdom if you're not living it out. You have the right, you have access, but that doesn't mean that you're in the kingdom. You can have a ticket to go to Disney World, but if you never enter the front gate, you're not actually in Disney World. Salvation is the ticket to enter the kingdom, but unless you walk through the gates, you never enter into the kingdom and see all the good stuff within. And I'll tell you, it's way better than Disneyland, Disney World, whatever amusement park you so choose. The kingdom isn't an external thing that you can work your way into the kingdom. You can't. It's not an external thing. You can't say, you know, I'm over here in the kingdom of darkness. Now I'm standing over here and I'm in the kingdom of light. I'm in the kingdom of God. You cannot physically do it. The kingdom of heaven is within the heart. You can't con it. You either are in the kingdom or you are not. You either are in the kingdom or you're not. You can't work your way in. You can't say, I've done enough for God. I've been righteous enough. I've been holy enough. I've done enough good works. I've ministered all of my life. Served people all of my life. I've given my entire body and everything to God. But if it's not in your heart, then all the works are meaningless. Faith without works is dead, but work without faith is pointless. It accomplishes nothing because you can't con God. Either he is the king, he is Lord and master, or he's not. The kingdom of God must advance in our hearts. It must move forward in our lives. We need to make intentional steps forward to allow God to have preeminence in our lives. All of us do. All of us. No matter at what level we're at, we all can make a step forward in the kingdom. We can take the next step. We can do the next thing. It's like I'm being challenged. God is challenging me to make some steps, some adjustments in my life. I could choose to say no. And I'll tell you, my flesh wants to say no. But my spirit wants to say yes. And this is the battle. This is the battle that every single one of us enter into, is between the flesh and the spirit. Which one's going to win out? What choices are we going to make? How are we going to be encouraged? Who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the kingdom of God? Are we going to listen to the family of God? Are we going to listen to the word of God? Or are we going to listen to our own ideas and theories? When I was 14 and I was in youth group, I remember pondering the question, of Jesus and of whom we serve. And I heard the minister, our youth pastor, get up and talking about Jesus and showing the love of God. And he shared Christian rock music with us. And I said, wow, God can speak to me because I loved rock music. And I knew that everybody chooses to serve something. I was 14 years old. How do I know that? It's a truth. Everybody serves something. We all serve something. The question is who are we going to serve? And at that point, I made a decision. I said, that's a God I'm going to serve. And my life has been on that path ever since I made that decision. In my ignorance and not knowing anything about the kingdom, not having anyone teach me about things and the stupid things that I did, because I was a young man, young men doing young men things, joined the Marine Corps. There's a real bastion of righteousness right there. But I had made a decision to serve God. That this is whom I'm serving. Jesus Christ and Him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I set my life on that course in my heart. And because it was in my heart, I couldn't move from it. Even though I strayed, even though I did dumb things, God continually brought me back. He maneuvered me. He shifted me. And the crazy wandering of my life and the things that God has taught me in it is because I chose to be in the kingdom. That He was my master. He was my God. And if He said that I needed to do something, then that's where I went. And that's what I did. It's not always fun, but it's always rewarding. Jesus, talking about Himself and who He was in John 10, 9, and 11, 9 through 11, He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by Me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. He came that we might have life and life abundantly. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is abundant life. The kingdoms of this world are death and destruction. When you begin to put it in this context, it kind of becomes a no-brainer. Why wouldn't you choose the kingdom of God? Because it means you got to sacrifice yourself. You have to be willing to put down what it is that you want to do and how you want to live and how you want to believe. And it means that you choose to say, Jesus is my King and this is my kingdom. These are the bounds which I am constrained within because this is what I choose. Will I want to do this? You can't. Well, why not? Well, you can, but it's not a good idea. You're going to be outside the bounds of the kingdom, and you're going to receive what you sow. I know there's plenty of times I've prayed for crop failure. I've done something. I'm like, oh, Lord, please don't let that come bite me in the butt. Please don't let that bite me in the butt. And sure enough, comes around, bites me right in the butt. I reaped what I sowed. Another blessing of the kingdom, John 8 and 12. And Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You ever wonder? It's like, I have no idea where I'm going or what I'm doing. Jesus says, I am the light. And if you walk in him, if you walk in him, there's no darkness. He says, we won't walk in darkness. We will, he says, this is what he says. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. How'd you like to know where you're going? He says, you follow me, you'll see where you're going. But you'll have the light of life. You'll know where you're headed. Daniel 2, chapter 4. This is a prophecy of the kingdom. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. This is the kingdom we're in. This is the kingdom of God. Whatever kingdom is in this world, the kingdom of God can consume it. Whatever kingdom you're struggling with, whatever philosophy, idea, whatever thing is trying to rule your life, the kingdom of God can overcome it. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just an alcoholic. The kingdom of God can consume it. I'm just a foolish person. The kingdom of God can consume it. I'm useless. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. The kingdom of God can consume it. Well, my past, my life, it means I'm nothing. I've destroyed everything. The kingdom of God can consume it. And it will stand forever. Anything that the kingdoms of this world do, God can overcome. That's the reality of this kingdom. The kingdom of God, God's kingdom, will overcome whatever kingdom stands against it. But this kingdom cannot be forced on anyone. It must be entered into willingly, and it will stand forever. We need to have the kingdom advance in our lives. Because the rest of the world won't strive to enter into the kingdom unless they see people living the kingdom out. I'm guessing that I'm probably going to be talking about the kingdom for a little while. Just wild guess here. I'm going to continue to talk about the kingdom so that we can advance in it, so that we understand. How do we move forward in this? How do we live in this kingdom? How do we overcome? Because this kingdom stands forever. This king never passes away. His throne is forever. And it doesn't change. It endures from generation to generation to generation. And we have something worth passing on to those around us, to our families, to our friends, to our children, to our grandchildren, to our great-grandchildren, and our great-great-grandchildren, for generation to generation, to teach them so they can pass it on to the next generation and the next generation. Because the kingdom of heaven is something worth entering into. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your kingdom. Lord, we are eager to enter into your kingdom. Help us, show us, teach us. Show us your way, Lord. Teach us the kingdom. Let not the teachings of men pervert the truth of your kingdom. Because we want to enter in. We want to see the goodness. We want to experience it. We want to live it out. So that the world strives to enter in because they see something worth having. Lord, we trust you to lead us and guide us and help us in this. And we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful week. Be blessed. I look forward to seeing you next week.